This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This week, state officials told the group responsible for one of Boston's premier public parks it should make plans to run it without public funds.
State Transportation Secretary Richard Davey made the demand in a stern letter to the Rose Kennedy Greenway Conservancy, and it is the latest in a series of controversies that have consumed the Conservancy. In a moment, we'll speak with Director Nancy Brennan and two state representatives about it, but first, a reminder of how this story unfolded.
So 2 weeks ago, a Boston Herald reporter asked Brennan to disclose her salary. Brennan accidentally sent the reporter's email intended for her publicist, which gave the impression she was trying to dodge the Herald's question.
That seeming lack of transparency did not sit well with state officials, who then demanded the Greenway release its latest financial reports in full.
And they did. The documents reveal that Brennan has paid $185,000 a year to run the Greenway Conservancies. Four other employees also make six-figure salaries. The total annual cost to operate and maintain the Greenway amounts to more than $300,000 per acre.
Meaning that the Greenway's total budget last year was $4.7 million, again, half of which is paid by the state as mandated by the public-private partnership that created the Conservancy.
Which brings us back to Secretary Davey's letter this week. He wrote, "The Greenway was intended to be a self-sustaining entity. It is prudent for the Conservancy to begin to wean itself off government support."
All of which raises some questions about the Rose Kennedy Greenway. Will increased transparency fix the problem? Should public funding just be completely withdrawn? And is there a better way to run and finance the park, one that will help it meet its goal of being a world-class public space? Call us with your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're going to speak with Nancy Brennan in just a moment, but first I'd like to turn to one of the more critical voices on Beacon Hill. He is Peter Durant. He's a state representative from Spencer and a member of the Joint Transportation Committee, and he has, as I said, been critical of the Greenway's finances. Representative Durant, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
I understand you've called for an investigation into the public funding of the Greenway. What information are you hoping to find?
Well, what we're looking for is a simple accounting of how the money's spent, where it goes, and how the Greenway operates. To us, to me, this is a fundamental issue about how we as a government spend taxpayer dollars, and further to really how we hold people accountable once we do give them those taxpayers' dollars for how they spend them.
Last year, the state financed around $2.5 million of the Greenway's $4.7 million budget. Do you think the state is already spending too much?
Well, I guess I'll say that I'm not convinced the state is spending too much. But let me try to draw an analogy, if I may. When we talk about the bailout that we had as a government, as a federal government, for Wall Street, what we did was we threw a lot of money at a problem, and then we had no accountability for how that money was spent. Now, please, I understand that we're talking about a tiny fraction of that kind of money, but to me, the principles are the same. And that principle is if you are going to take public taxpayer dollars, then there needs to be some strings attached. And in my opinion, those strings should contain how much executives are allowed to make.
Oh, okay, I'll get to that point in a second, but would perhaps bringing the Conservancy in under the laws that dictate the state's open meeting laws, public record laws, basically making it accountable through the legal instruments we have in Massachusetts for transparency, would that go a considerable distance in your mind to solving the problem?
Well, I don't know that it goes to solving the problem. I think it certainly is something that we need to do, again, because of the public financing aspect of their budget that certainly needs to be followed. But again, I'm not convinced that that's really the end solution here. I think the end solution, because we are in tough economic times, is to have the Conservancy be a self-sustaining entity that's funded through its private operations and its endowment and contributions.
So you do believe that the state should eventually wean the Conservancy off of it, public funding?
I think so. I think you do have a world-class park here that is capable. Unlike a lot of the other state parks in our state here, the Conservancy is able to generate that kind of revenue to run the park appropriately, and I think that should be done here.
And Representative Durant, last question to you. You mentioned this a little bit ago, but do you think that the current leadership at the Greenway, including Nancy Brennan, according to your estimation, are they getting paid too much? And if so, how much is too much? I mean, by what measure do you say that?
Well, and that's I guess that's the $185,000 question. But you know, I'm not at a point right now where I would say this is too much or that's too much. Personally, I think that the person out on the street, the average Joe out on the street, sees a salary of $180,000 to manage a 15-acre park. I think the average person, you know, slaps himself on the forehead and says, "My God, what's happening here?" So I do think that that's too much. How much is appropriate? That remains to be seen.
Peter Durant is a state representative from Spencer. He is a member of the Joint Transportation Committee on Beacon Hill. Representative Durant, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, joining us now is Nancy Brennan. She is the executive director of the Rose Kennedy Greenway Conservancy. Nancy Brennan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Yes, hi.
Hi there. I'd also like to introduce State Representative Aaron Michaelwitz. The Greenway lies entirely in his district. He represents Boston's North End, and he's the author of a bill that would actually extend the state's funding commitment while at the same time tighten oversight over the Conservancy. Representative Michaelwitz, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me on.
So, Nancy Brennan, let's start with what State Transportation Secretary Richard Davey has outlined to you in this letter that we referenced at the top of the show. Basically, he asks the Greenway Conservancy to meet three conditions. One, to submit to an independent salary review, including your own salary. Two, it would subject the Conservancy to the state's open meeting and freedom of information laws. And three, he hopes the Conservancy can submit a business plan that makes you fiscally independent of state funds by 2019, that date being key because if the Conservancy is to have its lease on the Greenway property extended, it would be until 2019. So I guess what's your response to what Secretary Davey is asking you to do?
In this climate, Meghna and Anthony, it's a very good opportunity for us to sit down with the Secretary and look at the Greenway's transparency, accountability, and results over the lifetime of running the parks since they opened in October of 2008. And we really look forward to sitting down and working with both representatives and the Joint Transportation Committee to stop kicking the can down the road and having a sustainable model to operate the Greenway. It's not well understood that the Greenway was built by the state with lots of community input and great ideas from the public. It was designed through the state process. It was built by the state. And then the Conservancy was brought in after all that was done to operate a gorgeous park that was beautifully conceived. Mm-hmm. But it's complicated. It has four different kinds of fountain systems. It has over 50 different kinds of lighting systems. It has, don't forget that element of being a rooftop garden over the O'Neill Tunnel. And it's an extraordinarily beautiful but complex place. I understand the Secretary's very legitimate concerns and questions, and we want to do what we've done all along, which is open book now that we have all the expenses of operating the park. By the way, that $300 per acre figure is not correct by about 50%.
Well, we said to operate and maintain vis-a-vis your entire budget divided by the 15 acres that the Greenway is. But Nancy,
includes programs. It includes
programming,
all the
maintenance,
finance,
operations,
yes,
salaries, the whole thing.
Fundraising.
But let me
for
ask you, basically, Secretary Davey is asking the Rose Kennedy Greenway Conservancy to look to a future that by 2019 does not include state funding. I mean, he said the business plan that he expects the Conservancy to submit within 6 months shall assume an annual decrease in state support such that there's zero state support in the final year of the lease extension, 2019. That seems pretty clear to me that that is the future that he's asking you to look towards. Can you and will you?
We will, and look forward.
So you anticipate operating without public funds by 2019?
We will look forward to working through the business plan with our partners at the state. And we looked at this with the former secretary, Secretary Mullen, and before him, Secretary Aloisi, in looking at a business plan for the Greenway that looked at what the financing models might exist in the Commonwealth in Boston for this. So in 2008, the legislature passed the Greenway statute that included an assumption of 50% public money, 50% private money. Mm-hmm. But look, we're in a recession. We have to reexamine those assumptions that were now only 4 years old. But I'm sorry if I continue to answer your question. Were the state to go away and were we to look at Representative Duran's suggestion that the endowment would replace all of state money, we receive $2.1 million from the state now. And a $60 million fundraising campaign would have to be achieved within 5 years. Even the marquee museums, the Gardner, the ICA, are finding it very hard to reach their endowment goals. I can't imagine. I think it's going to be very difficult practically to have that as a solution.
Okay. So I'll come back to that point in just a second. But Representative Michalowicz, let me bring you in here. Nancy Brennan is basically saying, as far as I can hear, that without state funding after 2019, the type of park that Bostonians and actually people all across Massachusetts would like to have just won't be possible.
Yeah. I mean, the concern is that, you know, we need to make sure that these parks are top-notch, and not just top-notch for the city, but top-notch especially for the neighborhoods that surround the Greenway, you know, the neighborhoods that I represent, where we went through 16 years of big dig construction. And, you know, the easy trips that everyone has going into Boston were built off the backs of the people that I represent now. And, you know, one of the carrots that were hung out while we were going through those dark days of construction and turmoil was top-notch parks.
And wasn't another carrot that the Conservancy was supposed to be entirely self-sustaining to begin with?
Well, I think it's gone back and forth. You know, I think the original MOU did say it was supposed to be self-sufficient. But then there was also, you know, the mitigation requirements to the state that the state had to, provide, you know, sustainable and beautiful parks throughout that, however that may be. If it's through the Conservancy, you know, that would be great. If it's not, then we have to change it.
So let's take another step back here, because the thing that's really sort of triggered all of this is, you know, the issue of financing has come because of questions of transparency. And I'll ask you to respond to this as well, Nancy. But this isn't the first time that questions surrounding transparency have cropped up vis-a-vis the Greenway Conservancy. I mean, back in 2010, July 13th, then MassDOT Secretary Jeff Mullen sent a letter to the Greenway Conservancy that basically says he was laying out conditions, discussing with the Conservancy, that would require them to, use the state's open meeting law to comply with that, to comply with the state's public record law, to put full reporting on salaries of staff, payments and to vendors, et cetera, because MassDOT money was being used. That was 2010. That was the request from Secretary Mullen then. Last year, you submitted, if I understand correctly, legislation on Beacon Hill that tried to get a little more transparency as well by saying, hey, the Greenway Leadership Council, which are residents and business members that abut the Greenway, should have veto power over the entire Greenway budget, just so another set of eyes could see it. Do you see that once these pieces start coming together, there's a long-term question about transparency here?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the Greenway Conservancy has done a poor job of creating an image of transparency. And, you know, that was mainly one of the reasons why I did file the bill, you know, trying to force them to comply by the open meeting law, creating a checks and balance system for the budget through a leadership council that would have veto power over the operation and maintenance decisions that were made by the Greenway Conservancy. I think it was, you know, I filed it to really get the conversation going and start the ball rolling on how to create a better system, a better structure of transparency especially in regard to state funding.
Mm. Listeners, we are talking about the Rose Kennedy Greenway and questions of transparency and financing and maybe a future in which there's no state money that goes to supporting this park in Boston. What are your thoughts about what's been going on with the Greenway? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Nancy Brennan, please.
Magna, if I can. There any number of misunderstandings, which we look forward to working with the representative to correct. We have, meaning the board and the staff, has worked so hard over the last number of years to help the public understand exactly how the parks operate. We publish all our financials, our audits, our annual reports, our filings with the federal government on our website. We have at least 4 open meetings with the board of directors of Greenway Leadership Council a year, and there are many more than that. But the real center of this is the state's obligation because it is state land. And the Greenway Conservancy was specifically created so that the state didn't have to pay 100% of the maintenance and the programming of what they created. And the model that was chosen, that has proven very successful, was chosen as a nonprofit conservancy. We are not a state agency.
But as you acknowledge, you take state funding.
40% of our budget is state funding. 60% now is raised through private fundraising efforts. And that's what is so important about this. The Big Dig environmental mitigations produce some fabulous benefits for the Commonwealth. The Greenway and Spectacle Island. Now, Spectacle Island, 100% of the maintenance cost of Spectacle Island has to be borne by the state. But the Greenway Conservancy was created as the arm of this public-private partnership that could raise real money.
Give
you the results, in the last 6 years, we have raised $18 million from the private sector. The state has contributed 12, and there's been another 12 in a grant, another 2 in a grant from Mass Development. So that proportion, which is getting better now that we're coming out of the recession, is a proven successful model, and it also comes with appropriate and consistent public participation.
But I guess state officials now and many people who are members of the public are asking for a little bit more. They're asking for the Greenway Conservancy to be fully compliant with the state's open meeting laws and the state's public record laws in full, because of the fact that, as you say, 40% of the Greenway's budget is coming from public funds. Simple question, is the Greenway Conservancy willing to do that, to comply in full?
Yes, and we look to sitting down and figuring out what that actually means. Now, every bit of our transparency work that I just walked you through earned the Conservancy a very unusual recognition from GuideStar, the national nonprofit watchdog that gives selectively its GuideStar seal for transparency. We have already won that, but it doesn't mean we can't get better. And working with all the stakeholders, we can start talking about how to do that to make the comfort level increase for the Greenway.
Representative Michalowicz, you know, a lot of people out there are asking what is kind of like the big question here, and that is, you know, Nancy Brennan says that this public-private partnership is working for the Greenway. Do you agree with that? Is it working for the Greenway, or is there a better way? What would the state gain or lose by just making it an entirely public park, for example, and taking private partnerships out of it entirely?
Well, I believe in the public-private partnership that we have at this moment. I think it does need some tinkering, and that's why, you know, I filed the legislation last year. You know, I don't want to see these parks subject to annual appropriation within the Department of Conservation and Recreation. You know, DCR right now is trying to privatize all the skating rinks in the Boston area. I mean, the governor has filed it in his budget year after year on trying to privatize these rinks. And, you know, I just don't want to deal. I don't want to be coming to my colleagues year after year trying to fund, you know, these parks when again, I go back to it, that we you know, the people of the neighborhoods that live along those parks deserve top quality notch parks.
Mm-hmm. And Representative Michalowicz, I'm sorry to interrupt. I understand that. But, you know, I wonder, for example, we've heard that one of the reasons why costs on the Greenway are what they are, for example, that it's a programmed park, right? There are events and shows and things that people can go to enjoy beyond the physical infrastructure of the park itself. Maybe what Boston needs is just a park that's beautiful, place people can go to, but that's not programmed. Would that maybe reduce costs such that the state could take it on?
Well, I think we need to look at all options and keep all options on the table, you know, throughout this discussion. And I do think it's an appropriate time to be having this discussion. I mean, we've had a couple of years now with the Conservancy in charge. I think that last year they did a wonderful job in the summer and fall seasons. I think that the parks were very vibrant and energetic, and it was exciting to watch the growth of the Greenway take place. But I think as we go forward, we need to continue to constantly reanalyze and reevaluate, you know, how to make this better, how to make this public-private partnership better.
I'd like to take a call. Mark is calling from the Fenway. You're on the air, Mark.
I think the whole structure is awkward. Why should the Department of Transportation be even involved with a park? What do they know about parks? And the whole idea of it, when it was done in the beginning, was very awkward to begin with, because it was designed by several different landscape architects. There was no real master plan to it. So I'm just confused as what it is and what it wants to be and how it's going to become what they're talking about. And on top of that, I think for five people to make over $100,000 a year is a lot of money in this time of limited resources.
Mark, I'm going to just stop you there and thank you for your call. I mean, I suppose the reason why DOT is involved is because the Greenway sits on top of the big dig, and that's why how the state owns the land that is the Greenway.
Yes, the caller's good questions. The place we need to look for answers is in the history, and the Greenway was one of the public benefits that emerged from in 1992 from an environmental certificate that said, let's go forward with the improvements of the Big Dig, and the Greenway was one of the things that came out of it. So that is the legal history, and it remains true today. And again, as I mentioned, were it not for the Conservancy, the state would have the full obligation of paying for at least the maintenance of mm-hmm. the park, which one wonders, since they are, as he said, really in the transportation business, whether that makes sense.
Representative Michalowicz, quick question to you about how Beacon Hill as a whole is looking at this, because I know you filed legislation that would extend state funding for the Greenway in perpetuity with conditions for much increased transparency. But on the other hand, as we started the show off with Secretary Richard Davey, Transportation Secretary, who, by the way, we did invite on the program, he declined to join us today, you know, he's indicating that at least from the executive branch, they want to see a future where there's no state funding for the Greenway. So are you at odds there with other members of Beacon Hill leadership?
Well, I think first off, I just want to clarify the legislation only extends it for another five-year period.
For the period of the lease on the Greenway.
Yeah, okay. To 2017, for fiscal year 2017,
okay.
To try to again, you know, I think, again, we would have to reevaluate when 5 years would come down the road and see where we were at that point in time. I think the events of the past couple of weeks have created a very challenging situation for us that want to see funding go to the Greenway and support for the Greenway take place, because there are a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues that are not happy with some of the things that they're reading and are very skeptical of moving forward with funding for the Greenway. It's going to be a challenge for people like myself to discuss that and to push that forward. But I think there is a skepticism amongst many of my colleagues, for the future.
Nancy Brennan, on that note, I have to ask, because I think that skepticism, at least at this point in time, is reflected through part of the public at large. It's brought in a lot of attention to the Conservancy, a great deal of criticism. It's sort of consumed the actions of the Conservancy right now. Forgive me for asking, but it makes me wonder, do you think that there's a possibility that maybe for the good of the Conservancy as a whole in the long run, that it might be better off moving on without your leadership?
Interesting. Shakespeare, I think it's Hamlet, said, these blazes give more heat than light. There is a big fear created perhaps at a good time for us to all sit down together and think about a sustainable model for the Greenway and what is appropriate. I will say about the salary question, if the public would like to go on our website, there is a recently posted explanation of our finances, and particularly on how compensation is set. Our board sets my compensation by reviewing local and national park and civic and cultural organizations. And even, and I will say that I make kind of in the middle of that range, mm-hmm. but also the Herald's own list of nonprofit leaders in this city. There are 35 of them, and my salary is very close. I think it's second to the bottom.
Well, that is Nancy Brennan. She is the director of the Rose Kennedy Greenway Conservancy. Thank you so much for your time today, Nancy.
It's nice to be back. Thanks, Meghna.
And Representative Aaron Michaelowitz, representative from the North End, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me on.
Listeners, there's a lot to be said about this, and I'd love to hear from you, so let us know what you think at radioboston.org. Up next, some ideas for your weekend. Plus, maybe the Greenway is a good way to enjoy this, but what's up with our warm winter? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.